So good to be together. You can be seated if we haven't met before. My name is Scott, one of the pastors here at Hope, and what a joy to be together. What a joy to have our special guest with us today. He is literally a worldwide entertainer, one of the top. He is an America's Got Talent star. And I want to just ask him just a few questions about his life. And so would you just help me bring on one more time, Bella Nock, here he is, the one, the only, the incomparable. And it's so good to have Bella in his home church with us. We are his family, so make him feel at home. He's our brother. And we just thought it was appropriate. We're wrapping up a series called Going Vertical, and he certainly went vertical. And that hair, come on. There's nobody on the planet that has more vertical hair than Bella Nock. Nobody. And of course, America wants to know, Bella, how do you do that?
That's a great question. You know, growing up, you're going to find you don't get short answers with me, but growing up in a family of entertainers, I thought talent was everything. And as a kid, I speak 5 different languages. I play 12 different musical instruments. I do almost everything in circus, everything in the X Game sports, anything that's physical, I do it. The mental stuff is not so, but the physical stuff. And after all of that, 14 world records, 2 Guinness Book of World Records, everyone asks me about my hair. Yeah, but I'm not allowed to tell you that I put Viagra in my shampoo.
We'll have to bleep that out of the service right there.
Growing up right here in Florida, traveling all around the world, but home base was born here in Sarasota, Florida. I was a kid water skiing at Cypress Gardens, and I wanted to be like all the other water skiers. I got a crew cut. Well, I'm a redhead. I sunburned the top of my head and didn't want to touch it for a week, 2 weeks. I just let it just grow. And eventually, this is what happened. Worn it like this since I was 11 years old.
So it's literally shade.
That's it. That's
shade for your head.
I wish I had a better story for you.
So, no, if you ever give Bello a hug, you're going to find out that he is solid muscle. He is an interesting kind of entertainer. He is an extreme daredevil, but he has this humor edge that sort of puts people at ease. Like, oh, he's not going to die. He makes us laugh as he does these incredible life-threatening stunts. He was on America's Got Talent recently. We're going to show a little clip of a death-defying act that he did for America. And then just ask this question as we come out of the clip. How do you prepare mentally, physically, spiritually for death-defying feats? Let's look at this America's Got Talent clip.
Hi, Bella. How are you?
Steady like a leaf.
Yeah, you look nervous.
Really nervous.
Yeah, really nervous. Okay, tell me what you're going to be doing.
Hopefully, I make it from the cannon over the helicopter and land on the bullseye.
Okay, that blade's going to be rotating?
The blades will be spinning.
Has anyone ever done this before?
This has never been done before. 48 people in history have tried human cannonballing. Half of them have been successful.
And the other half?
Well, the other half died.
Oh my gosh.
Even the ones that did make it have had some major injuries.
Okay, I think we should just get on with it because I'm feeling anxious.
Bella! Good luck, Bella! Oh gosh, Bella.
That'll take off head in a second.
Okay,
think he's okay, though.
You okay?
Is he okay?
So how do you prepare for a death-defying feat like that and so many others that you do?
Wow, that's a great question. So how do you prepare for something like that? You heard the statistics of that. It was a first ever. It was viewed by 14 million people.
Wow.
The prize, if you won, was $1 million. The fame, the fortune, that's not what you do it for. Preparing for it, you know, if you're going to go do anything in life, a friend is going to say, good luck. Yeah. And there's no such thing as luck. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as good luck, bad luck. There's no such thing as luck. It's when preparation meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. And up until me, 7 generations of my family have been entertainers. And it doesn't matter if they were daredevils that went vertical, because I've been doing that my whole life, or getting shot out of a cannon, or doing something for the first time, if it was dangerous or not. Everything that we are taught to do in going vertical, that has been my life. You don't start off by going, hey, let's go up there. It wasn't for the fame and fortune. It was for the achievement. It was for the right reasons. But you like stacking the chairs. I saw my dad do it. I saw my brother John, who was handing me the chairs, do it, right? We were family, you support each other.
Do they ever fall?
Hopefully not.
Hey, that's what I'm always praying for.
You don't think of even a high wire. You treat walking a wire at 1 foot off the ground with the same respect as 100 feet off the ground. It doesn't matter the space underneath you. If you're swimming in 10 feet of water or 100 feet of water, stay on top of the water.
Yeah.
Stay on top of the wire.
Yeah.
Stack in the chairs.
Yeah.
Start stable on the first one, second one. That's where. So preparation meets opportunity and the respect and focus that you give it.
And actually, so this has been a series about prayer going vertical.
Yes.
We thought putting you at the top of the chairs would increase the prayer level in the room.
Yeah.
We thought people would be saying, oh, God, help him, God, help him, God. Now, you said 7 generations.
Up until me, yes.
And so we're not done yet. Your family is in this church, Jennifer, your lovely wife, Amariah, Thomas, and Elise is coming along as a dare daughter. And she does unbelievable things as well. She's been on America's Got Talent. With 6 sticks of dynamite, she blew herself up. And then I'm going to ask you, we're going to watch this clip from America's Got Talent with your daughter. You're passing this on.
Yeah.
And just ask you, how do you prepare the next, you're 7 generations in, how are you preparing the next generation in your line of entertainers? Here is, from our church as well, Annalise Knock on America's Got Talent.
Hello, you. And who are you, please?
My name is Annalise Snuck. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Sarasota, Florida. Today, I will be performing The Exploding Coffin.
How dangerous is this act, being honestly?
It's very dangerous. Tonight, I'm going to be doing a bigger explosion than I ever have before. I'll be climbing into a 3-foot by 6-foot box with 6 sticks of dynamite.
Why would anyone in their right mind do this?
I'd be a little crazy to not be scared of this act. With an explosion this size, any number of things could go wrong.
Make sure you check your gear. Breathing's important, you know that.
The stress that this explosion will put on my body is insane. If I don't exhale at exactly the right moment, my lungs could implode. The results could be deadly.
Once that door closes, there's no stopping this.
I'm scared.
Right there. Get out. Get all cameras out.
There she is. She's getting in, guys.
It's getting in the coffin.
Oh my gosh.
Ready.
I'm nervous for her.
I'm scared.
Hold on. Her father looks worried.
Look. Now he's nailing her in.
Make it hot.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Wow. I'll just tell you, maybe it's your first time here. I just want you to know that crazy people come to this church.
Yeah.
You are amongst friends. And you're passing on a legacy, seven generations, and you're passing it on. How are you passing on that legacy to the next generation?
Boy, what a great question. It's a little complicated, too. How are you passing on to the next generation? One is... seven generations, both sides of my family, mother and father, and I saw how much passion, how much love, focus, determination went into doing what they did. Now, everyone here has a unique ability, everyone's got a job, everyone loves what they do. In a performance, people may seek the fame, the fortune, the plateau, and it wasn't how to get there, or it wasn't getting there. It was what you do with it once you get there. What do you do with that attention once you have it? Using it for the greater good.
Yeah.
Not letting it go to your head. At the same time, the passion is one thing, but any show that is done is a two-hour show, a concert, a performance. That performance was 5 minutes in a two-hour show. It's who you are and how you live your life the other 22 hours out of the day.
That's good.
And I saw my mom and dad love what they do, but I also saw them love and respect the business, the money, the fame, the people they worked with, how they treated everyone they worked with laterally, above, how they live their life, and that's what I saw. Not just my parents, but my brothers. And then all my family members, I wanted to do that. So then that happens. Because what happens is, I love what I do. I would do it for free. In fact, I do. People just pay for living the lifestyle of being away from home, you know, being away. And when you see, when you're enjoying what you do, then all of a sudden the next generation, I'd love to say that, you know, the prides and joys of my life, when you think it's not achievements, it's not accolades, money, this and that, it's my Proverbs 31 wife. I've been happily married 8 years. I've been married 30, but I've been, no, I'm kidding, it's a terrible joke.
Could be in trouble tonight.
Yeah. But with the prides and joys of both, my son Alex, daughter Amariah, yeah, and daughter Annalise. Annalise is the only one who is pursuing that lifestyle. All the way down to now, I have a granddaughter who's almost 2 years old, and you know what that's like.
Yep.
You see them mimic what you do when you don't think they're looking. So, sorry, the long answer is, I was inspiring her to passionately pursue what she loves.
Yep.
I didn't know that was it. If you saw that face and those tears, that was absolutely real. We were on tour. We're in Hawaii 6 weeks. And after 2 weeks, Annalise says, Dad, I'm going to go home. I want to practice a couple things with Uncle JP. Okay, great. Now go home. No problem. About 2 weeks later, I look on Facebook, and I see my wife and my daughter are in California, L.A. I said, Jenny, what are you doing? And she said, Annalise didn't tell you? Maybe she wants to surprise you. There's only 2 days out of the year that you're allowed to surprise anybody in entertainment, daredevil, and in danger work. Should be in every family. Christmas and your birthday. Mm. That's the only 2 days that you should surprise someone. Well, my daughter surprised me with that.
Wow.
No female has ever done that before. She has a Guinness Book of World Record for doing something that no man has done, but it wasn't good enough to do what no female has done. She wanted to do what no man has done.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the attention. It wasn't the accolades. It wasn't anything. It was the passion, and that comes through.
You're passing that passion.
Absolutely.
And you want her to be successful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And you're a good trainer. You've taught her a lot of things. If you saw it coming in today, you saw the cannon that was used on America's Got Talent out there. I wonder if you could teach your pastor.
You know, that's a loaded question.
How this week? Because we're this week, how to get into that cannon and make it work?
Into the zone.
Into the zone.
Statistics, let me just make sure.
Yes.
9 G's of force and gravity on takeoff, 11 G's of force on landing.
I can take it.
Are you the right caliber?
I am the right caliber.
Do you
want to
see
cannon.
It?
Don't miss next week. Come next week. We're going to see that. Hey, buddy, thank you so much. Awesome. Yeah. So, really, every dad wants his daughter, his son, grandchildren, to do well. Every generation wants to pass something on. And as we wrap up this series called Going Vertical, I want to show you the heart that Jesus had and has to pass on to every generation 3 very important qualities. We've been talking about you and I going vertical, but Jesus sets the example for us in John 17, the passage we're going to look at today. Jesus teaches us to go vertical. In verse 1 of chapter 17, it says that Jesus looked up. What did he do? Jesus was a man of prayer. This is the longest recorded prayer that we have of Jesus in this chapter. He lifted his heart towards God. The message is called the real Lord's Prayer because John 17 is probably the real Lord's Prayer. The one we call the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer for disciples and followers of Jesus. But if you want to see what the Lord is praying, it's in John 17. Jesus looked up towards heaven and he lifted his heart and he prayed. Now, there's 3, we're not going to read the whole prayer. I encourage you to read the whole prayer. It's a long prayer. He prays for himself because he's about to go to the cross. And it's very much on his heart. He prayed for the apostles, his closest friends and followers. And then in this prayer, he prays for you. And he prays for me. You are in the scripture. Did you know that? You are in the Bible. And here are the 3 things he prays for us. He lifts his heart and he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples or the apostles, but I'm also praying for all. How many would be included in all? You're part of that. Oh, there you are. There's your name right there. You're part of all. Whoever believe. So if you believe in Jesus, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that believe in me through the message that has been passed down from generation to generation, to generation, to generation. And Jesus doesn't just pray historically in this occasion. Right now, while we're sitting here, today, Jesus is praying for you. Romans 8 tells us that. It says that Jesus is seated right now at the right hand of God the Father because he died on the cross, he went into the tomb, he didn't stay in the tomb, he rose from the dead, right? He ascended to heaven, he sits beside God, and what's he doing while he's there? He's interceding, can you see that? Or he's praying for you now, and I don't know about you, but that really encourages me. That Jesus is in my corner, that Jesus is in your corner, and he's praying for you. And let me promise what he's praying for you. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He prays 3 things in this prayer in John 17 that he prayed years ago. And I promise you he's praying for them today. 3 things Jesus wants to pass on to you. First of all, he wants the relationships of your life to be whole, holy, healed. And he wants them to always be getting better. He wants you to grow in unity and community and be closer to the people around you than you have ever been in your life before. Here's his prayer. He says, I'm praying this. I pray that they will be, what's he say? I pray that they would be one. That's unity. That's community. That's coming together. And then the model for that, just as you and I are one. Here's what he says. I want you to get so close to the people around you, just like Jesus and God are one. And could I just say this? It doesn't get any closer than that. If the model is Jesus and God, there's nothing closer, which means all of us in this room have room for growth in our relationships because we are not like Jesus and God is. He wants us to get there, which means there's always room for growth in our relationships. So Darla and I have been loving each other, living with each other, 34 years of marriage. In fact, this month we celebrate 36 years, our first date 36 years ago. It took me a while to win her heart and get her organized to marry me. And then we've been, but so 34 years, but here's what it means. Jesus says, okay, Scott, I'm praying that you and Darla would have such unity, it would be like Jesus and God. And I'll tell you, there's room for growth in our lives, in that area. It means when we come to church, that Jesus is praying that you would be closer to the people around you than you were last week. That's his prayer. He prays as we come together as a community of faith, that we don't sit in isolation, but that we draw closer to each other. Now you may ask, how does that happen? You may ask, how does that happen? You may ask, oh, thank you for asking. Because it's here, watch this. Jesus says this, next verse, I've given them something he calls the glory that you gave me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And there's lots of writing on this verse. Lots of questions. What is the glory that God is giving to us through Jesus? As I look at it, I would just suggest that it is the glory of God's grace, that God gave Jesus a unique mission on the planet to grace the planet. And grace is unmerited favor. It's undeserved love. And the more we understand that glory of grace, or what the scripture calls the glorious grace of the gospel, the more we understand that, the more we give grace to one another. And the more we give grace to one another, the closer we get to each other, which means that we love people even when they don't deserve it. Right? So when I come home from work, and I don't think Darla greets me as enthusiastically as she should, I don't go, well, I'm going to give her the silence treatment until she knows something's wrong. No. Great. If I grace that moment, whether I believe she deserves it or not, I lavish love on her because that's what God did through Jesus Christ. And when we understand that concept, it heals all of our relationships. That we love people even when they don't deserve it. Now, why is that important, you may ask? Why is that important, you may ask? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Next verse, watch it. It's so that the world will know that this community of grace that has the glory of God in its very heart is a witness on the planet. I want you to know this in verse 23. I am in them, right? When you believe in Jesus, he comes into you. I am in them. And you are in me, may they experience such perfect unity. May they get so close to each other. May the community of believers on the planet be so close to one another that the world will know that you sent me. This is an essential part of our witness in our generation. There's a community of people on the planet that love each other no matter what. That love each other in spite of all our imperfections and our wild hairstyles. And our weirdness and our eccentricities, that there's a community on the planet, and Jesus prays that we would be getting closer to that community every single week. That's his prayer. He prays that in your home, in our community, when we come together. Secondarily, he prays this prayer. He prays that your relationship with God would be whole and healed and holy. He really prays that heaven will be your home, which is good to know that Jesus is praying that I'm going to make it. So he prays this, the second thing that he prays. He prays that your relationships would be whole. And then he prays, Father, I want these whom you have given me, watch this, watch his prayer, and I love this, to be with me where I am. Where was Jesus going? He was going to the cross. He was going into the tomb. He was coming out of the tomb. He was going to be at the right hand of the Father. And he prays that you're going to make it. He's in your corner. He's not condemning you. He's saying, oh, come on. I want you to make it to heaven. And to understand the teachings of Jesus is to understand there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to avoid. To understand the teachings of Jesus. And that our sin separates us from God, but Jesus comes to heal that rift, to build a bridge between where we are and where God is. And he is praying that you have made your reservation in heaven, and he's praying that you're going to make it. I hope you've made your reservation. You may want to jot down the number to make your reservation. J-E-S-U-S. That's the number. That's the reservation number. And he's praying that you will make it to heaven. And that's important. So he prays that we would be closer to each other. He prays that we would be closer to God, that heaven would be our home. And then he prays that while we live on this planet, we would understand our purpose, that he wanted to pass on to the disciples and every disciple that came after the first disciples, this passion. You heard Bella talk about passing on a passion. Here's the passion that Jesus wants to pass on to you, that you would be part of bringing God to this generation. And he prays it. Watch it. O righteous, verse 25, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you. Do you know any people that don't know God? The world doesn't know God? There are people around you that don't know God? That's what he's saying. The world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you. Why? Because I've revealed God to them, and now I want to continue to do so. How's Jesus going to continue to do that when he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven? Then your love for me will be in them. God wants to put love in your heart. Not just a love for yourself or your family. He wants you to love the world, and he wants you to love the world that doesn't know him. I want you to love them, and I am going to be in them. Here's how this prayer is answered. Jesus is in you, and Jesus in you wants to bring a world that doesn't know God into the family of God. That's his prayer, that your life would matter, not just to be shot out of a cannon on America's Got Talent, not to have these unique things that you do, but to live for a purpose that is beyond the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that you have, but to live for a purpose that is in eternity. I'm praying that I would be in them, and a world that doesn't know you will come to know you. It's one of the reasons we have these cards on the seats, and we want you to strategically take them and just be used this week in what the Bible calls the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of bringing people who are far away from God into the family of God. To take your card and to pray, say, Lord, oh, that's not it. That's not it. Oh, thank God I had there. To take the card and say, Lord, how can I fulfill my ministry of reconciliation? Do you know you have that ministry? It's not just for professionals, like pastors. It's for every single follower of Christ. Watch this scripture, and then we're going to pray. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us, that's all of us, to himself through Jesus Christ, and given, what's that word? And given, what's that word? And given, what's that word? And given us. How many are included in that? Given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's to be so filled with Jesus that a world that doesn't know God comes to know God because of Christ's work in your heart. And he's praying that. He said, oh, that's why I want you to be on the planet. I want to be in you so a world who doesn't know you will come to know you. And so strategically just say, Lord, who that I work next to or that I go to school with, can I just say, could you come? Next week we kick off a service on being a series on being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a power-filled life, not a powerless life. And Jesus wants the world that we live in that is filled with people who are far away from God to come into his family, to be healed in our relationship with God, which begins the healing in our relationships with all people. Interesting story in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus has a friend named Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, and tax collectors were known for ripping people off. And Jesus chooses Matthew to be reconciled to God, even though he had this like spotty past, because Jesus loves to pick weird people. And then Matthew goes, you know, Jesus, I got a lot of friends that are far away from God. They're tax collectors, and they don't get invited to a lot of parties because people don't like them. But what, Jesus, what if we did this? What if I had a party at my house? And I invited all my tax collector friends who are far away from God, who don't know God, and they come to the house, and we invite the disciples to come over, and we like have this kind of mixer of the disciples and my friends that are far away from God. And Jesus, would you come? Would you come to my party? And Jesus, yeah, count me in. I'll be there. And so Matthew has this party, and it becomes so big people crash the party, which means it must have been a good party. And the fellowship and the food are flowing, and they're the tax collectors who don't know much about God, are far away from God, come, and they're over in the corner, and Jesus is telling great stories. And the disciples are in conversation, and it's going great. And then the Pharisees show up, these religious Pharisees show up, and they say, Jesus, what are you doing here? These people don't know God. These people are far away from God. And Jesus says, these are exactly my kind of people. He said, I've come like a doctor to people that know they need healing so I can bring them into a relationship. I can heal that relationship with God. That's why I've come. That's my purpose. And my disciples are with me in this purpose. And Matthew, I come, Matthew, so great that your heart was for people who are far away from God to come in. Because I want heaven to be their home. And so this week, we just want to pray as we go vertical for a world that doesn't know God to be reached in our generation through the indwelling of Christ that's in you. And let me tell you, when we pray that kind of prayer, Jesus prays it with us. He says, exactly. So as we come to this moment, we're going to close our eyes and we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray the three prayers that Jesus prayed. And I know I'm praying the will of God, and I know I'm praying right along with Jesus. I first want to pray that heaven would be your home. That where Jesus is, you would be. And a lot of people are here. And if you know in your heart of hearts, if you know that heaven is your home, that you have a healed relationship, for sure, you absolutely know, hey, heaven is my home, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I'm going to be there someday. I'm just going to ask you to acknowledge that by putting your hand up in the air right now. Just acknowledge, I know that, and then put it back down. Thank you so much. And let me talk to the people that don't really know that, because Jesus is praying that heaven would be your home. And in a moment, we're going to pray. And if you pray with us, you don't earn this. You don't deserve it. It's called the grace, the glory of grace, undeserved love, undeserved forgiveness. But heaven can be your home. And if you want to be included in that prayer, I'm going to ask you to let me know. Scott, I'm praying. I'm praying that heaven would be my home. I'm praying that my relationship with God would be healed because I've been living far away from God. And for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, I want to come into God's family. I want to know that heaven is my home. Absolutely, for sure, I want to know that today. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to. But I want you to let me know, Scott, I'm praying today this prayer, by putting your hand up in the air high enough for me to see, and lift your eyes until we make eye contact, because I don't want to miss one person. You matter to God, you matter to us, and you matter to me. How many would just say, that's the kind of prayer I want to pray today, Scott? Put your hand up in the air. Just hold it there. I see you guys right there. Thank you. See you right there. Thank you. Just hold it up till I see you right there. Thank you, my brother. Thanks for being here. And my sister. Thank you way over there. Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't want to miss anyone. Just hold your hand in the air just for a moment so I know I'm going to include you in this prayer. I saw you right there. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to be included in that. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to stand together. Can we all do that? Let's all stand. Our prayer team is going to come to the altar. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. And you can pray this prayer. Let's all close our eyes and let's pray this prayer out loud, because the Bible says, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and salvation comes. Absolutely. So here's our prayer. Lift your voice and just say, Dear Heavenly Father, everyone together, let's lift our voice together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name because I need you in my heart. I open my heart, my soul, to Jesus Christ, to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I repent of my sins and I turn away from them. And I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Now, Jesus, go ahead. Now, Jesus, lead me in my life and help me to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer, guys. It's an awesome prayer. Awesome. Now, a few things. I want you to bring friends next week so when we have this moment, heaven can start rejoicing. Because it rejoices when people open their hearts to their Heavenly Father, their Creator. I'm going to pray the two more prayers of Jesus over you, and then we're going to open our time of prayer here at the altar. So if you're giving your heart to Christ, it's very important you come and pray with one of our prayer team. Say, I prayed with Scott. But they're here to pray for any need that you're facing today. I want to thank you for being here. I want you to come back next week. I want those that are interested in learning more about the church to be part of that one-hour seminar that I teach at the bottom of this hour for 1 hour from 10:30 to 11:30 in the A hallway, Hope 101. Connecting to God, connecting to this church. If you've been a guest here today, please come again. And if you've been a guest, please stop by. A room especially prepared for you as a guest to get to know you is the VIP room just back on the left-hand side. We want to just meet you, bless you, and pray that God does amazing things. When we finish this prayer, if you'd like to come forward, please do that. If you'd like to receive communion today, there's a communion station at the left-hand side and the right-hand side. You don't need to be a member of this church, just a believer in Jesus to receive communion, the bread that reminds us what Christ did on the cross, the cup that reminds us what Christ did on the cross, and you're welcome to receive that or to receive prayer. But I pray this continued prayer. I pray that you'll be healed in your relationship towards God, which we've just prayed. I pray that you'd be healed in your relationship towards others, that you would keep growing with Jesus and God as the outcome, as the model, that you would keep growing in unity, that you'd keep growing in community, that you'd get closer and closer to the people God has placed in your life to live in community with. And this spiritual community, may you not sit on the edge of it, but may you keep pushing in and keep growing and not live in isolation, but be part of a community of grace that brings witness to the world. I pray that heaven would be your home. I pray your relationships would be healed. And I pray that your life would matter. I pray that you'd understand the indwelling presence of Christ is in you to bring a world that doesn't know God to know him, to love him, and be healed in their relationship as well. So I pray these three prayers for you, knowing that we are praying the perfect will of God because Jesus is praying these same things for us today. I bless you. in the name of Jesus, and in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's just give the Lord an ovation, a praise, a good morning in his house. Thank God for people coming to Christ. Come forward, please. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. And may the blessing of the Lord, worship team, lead us in worship. Let's turn our hearts towards the Lord.